The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Yossi Rosenfeld.
Baruchim Habo'im, today we're going to be starting Simon Mem Vav. The Kitzur calls Hilchos Ma'achalos Asuros, the halachos, the laws pertaining to which foods are mutter, are permitted, and which ones are also, which foods are forbidden. Let's see halacha aleph. Dam hanimtza bebeitzim, if blood is found in an egg, aser, the blood spot itself is forbidden. One may not eat that blood. Sometimes the entire egg will be forbidden. If that blood indicates the development of a chick, therefore the entire egg is considered to be unkosher because it's considered to be all part of a developing chick. So therefore sometimes a blood spot can indicate that the entire egg is forbidden. Therefore when they make food with eggs, Yesh livdok oson, they should check them. The eggs should be checked for blood spots. Again, the problem of finding a blood spot in an egg, the reason to forbid the entire egg would be because it indicates a developing embryo of a chick. The poskim, the halachic authorities now talk about what if one has an egg farm where there's no males and the eggs are never fertilized, and finding a blood spot would not indicate the development of a chick because the eggs are not fertilized. Would one be allowed just to throw out that actual spot of blood and use the rest of the egg? There are authorities that permit using the rest of the egg now that our eggs almost never will have fertilization because generally the chickens are not in any vicinity near males. The Minchas Yitzchak, Diane Weiss, and Rabbi Avadya Yosef permit throwing out the blood spot and using the rest of the egg. Rav Moshe Feinstein, nevertheless, says it would be a chumrah, it would be a stringency to throw out the entire egg because of a concern maybe there was a minority of eggs that got fertilized. But even Rav Moshe Feinstein is lenient if one had mixed that egg with other foods, it was in a taruvus, it was already mixed into other foods, Rav Moshe Feinstein would permit that mixture where the egg was mixed already. But the egg itself, Rav Moshe Feinstein, is more stringent. And again, there are authorities who are more makel, who are more lenient about throwing out the blood and using the rest of the egg in our eggs where generally we will never have fertilization. So that's a machlokes, a debate among contemporary authorities, whether one has to throw out the entire egg or he could just take out the blood spot and use the rest of the egg. Let's see halacha beis. Dam dogim mutter. The blood of a fish is mutter. Even though blood is forbidden, that's only blood from an animal. But blood of a fish is forbidden. That's not considered to be blood. Ach in kibso bikli. However, if he gathered up the blood in a utensil, also mipnei maris ha'ayin. It is forbidden because of maris ha'ayin, literally that the way that something appears because of the appearance of this blood in this instance. The idea of maris ayin is that if something is technically permitted, something is mutter, but it appears to be aser, it appears to be forbidden, so Chazal wanted a person to make some sort of indication that what he's doing is actually permitted. In this case, where one gathered up fish blood is permitted, but it appears to be animal's blood. A person who's looking may not recognize the difference between fish blood and animal blood, and it might look like this person is eating animal blood. Therefore, there's a prohibition of drinking fish blood, which is gathered up, which is not in the fish, but it's gathered up and now sitting in a utensil because it looks like it might be animal blood. So the Kitzur continues how to make a hecker, a way of showing that it's really fish blood. Therefore, if it's recognizable that it's from a fish, let's say, for example, you had scales in the blood, mutter, that will be permitted because once you put scales in it, that shows that it's fish blood. We're going to see a similar halacha in halacha yudalid, that if one has something that looks like milk, but it's not actual milk, it's from a coconut or an almond, because it might look like it is milk, and there's certain halachas of eating that with meat, therefore you have to put, if it's almond milk, you have to put almonds in it to show that it's not real milk. And this is the concept of Maris Ayin. If something looks like, if something gives the appearance that it's something which is prohibited, even though technically it's permitted, one has to make the proper hecker with the proper way of showing that what he's doing is actually permitted. Let's see halacha gimel. If someone bit into a piece of bread or some other food, and the blood left his teeth, and now it's on top of the piece of bread, so he has to cut out the place of the blood, he has to discard it, he has to throw it out. He may not eat that place where the blood is in the food, because that would be considered like eating blood. However, the blood between the teeth, motzitzo bechol, if it's a weekday, if it's not Shabbos, he's allowed to suck it out. Kevin shelo pirish, since it has not separated from the body. Velo b'Shabbos, however, on Shabbos it's prohibited. Let's explain what the Kitzur is saying here. The Kitzur is saying that the blood of a human is technically permitted. Technically, the blood of a human is permitted by Torah law, but by the law of the Torah, the blood of a human is permitted. But because it might look like animal blood, one may not consume human blood because it could be confused with animal blood. So therefore, if the blood has left the body, it's now on the food, one may not eat that spot where there's blood. However, if the blood is still between his teeth, if the blood is still inside his mouth, it's not recognizable, then Chazal, the rabbis, didn't forbid that because it hasn't left into a place which is recognizable. It's still inside a place which is, so to speak, hidden. It's hidden away inside his body, inside his mouth. And therefore, one is allowed to suck out the blood in his mouth. It's only if it's left his mouth and it's now on the food, then the rabbis prohibited that blood because of Maris Ayin, because it looks like it might be animal blood. The Kitzur added another halacha here, that that's only permitted if it's a weekday, but not on Shabbos. In some editions of the Kitzur, he says, Ayin Simen Pei Sif Nundalad. In Simen Pei Sif Nundalad, the Kitzur talks about how on Shabbos, because there's a prohibition of making a wound, of opening up a wound, or drawing blood, so if it's Shabbos, one may not suck the blood between his teeth. He can't actively take out or suck out the blood from a part of his body. So again, let's read the last line of the Kitzur. Aval hadam shebein hashinayim, but blood between his teeth, motzitzo b'chol. He may suck it out during the week. There's no prohibition of eating blood if it's still inside, of eating human blood if it's still inside his body. Kevin shelo pirish, since it hasn't left his body. V'lo b'Shabbos, but not on Shabbos. And Shabbos is a separate prohibition of drawing blood. And again, the Kitzur refers to Simen Pei, Sif Nundalad, where he talks about this halacha, the prohibition on Shabbos of drawing blood. Let's see halacha dalad. Lefa'amim nimsa dam b'toch ha'cholav. Sometimes blood is found inside the milk. One milks a cow and he finds the milk to be bloody. Shadam yotza im ha'cholav, that the blood left together with the milk midadei ha'behema, from the udder of the cow or the other animal. B'tzrichin la'asas b'zeh she'ilas chacham. One has to ask a competent Talmud Chacham, a competent halachic authority. The issue is that when the milk is bloody, do we look at the entire milk as being similar to blood? Is now the entire quantity of milk here considered to be like blood? Because since it's bloody, it shows it still has a vestige of its bloodiness in it. That shows it's still like blood. Therefore, the entire milk is prohibited. That's the more stringent opinion. The more lenient opinion says that even milk with blood is still considered to be milk, just that blood itself has to be removed. So one may not, according to the more lenient opinion, one is allowed to drink this milk, just he has to take out the spot where the blood is inside of it. So one has to ask a competent halachic authority if one is allowed to drink the milk where there's blood inside of it. Let's see halacha hey. Basar b'chalav, if one had meat with milk, if the meat was cooked with milk, also b'achila, it's forbidden to eat that mixture. It's forbidden to actually do the act of cooking the meat with milk. Ubahana, it's forbidden to gain benefit from it. So the act of cooking meat with milk is forbidden, is asur. If one did cook meat with milk, it's forbidden to eat it and also to derive benefit from that, not only to eat it himself, but also to benefit some other way. Let's say, for example, to feed it to his animal. That would also be prohibited by basar b'chalav, by meat and milk cooked together. V'lochein, and therefore, imnasa is a davar, if something was prohibited in mitaruvas basar b'chalav, from the mixture of meat and milk. Tzrich la'asas she'elo amar la'asas bo, one has to ask a competent authority what to do with the mixture of meat and milk. Sometimes it is forbidden to derive benefit from the mixture. For the fam in nasar bahana, sometimes it's not forbidden to derive benefit. The Kitzur is saying certain mixtures of basar b'chalav, of meat and milk, are forbidden to have benefit from. For example, if one took the meat of a behema, of a domesticated animal, a cow or a sheep or a goat, and cow, sheep, or goat, and cooked out with milk, that would be prohibited not only to eat it, but also to derive benefit from it. However, let's say it was meat from a fowl, it was from a chicken or a duck, or meat from a chaya, meat from an undomesticated animal, let's say a deer. Those types of meat, again, from a fowl, or from a chaya, undomesticated animal, like a deer, that's prohibited to eat, but it's not prohibited in benefiting. That by Torah law, the only prohibition to benefit is from a behemoth, a domesticated animal, again, like a cow, a sheep, or a goat. That's the only time where it's prohibited to have hana, to have benefits. So therefore, if one had a mixture of meat and milk, one has to ask a competent authority whether this mixture is prohibited to benefit from, or it's just prohibited to eat. And there might be other factors also, so therefore one has to ask a competent authority if he had a mixture of meat and milk, what to do with it is it's definitely forbidden to eat if there was a mixture of meat and milk, but to derive benefit depends on what the nature of the mixture was. Let's see, Allah Chavav. Shnei Yisraelim HaMakirim Zeh. If you have two Jews who are acquainted with each other, that they're familiar with each other, afilahim makpidim zelza, even if they're careful with each other, they don't freely share with each other, but because they're somewhat acquainted with each other, also lahem lechol b'shulchanecha, they're forbidden to eat on the same table, ze basar, that one should eat meat, v'ze machal chalav, the other one should eat a dairy product, that we're concerned that they will share, even if they're Mac, but even though normally they don't share, but still, as long as they're acquainted with each other, Chazal, the rabbis, were concerned that they might come to share the food with each other. So therefore, they should not eat, that if one of them eats milk, one of them eats meat on the same table, generally, they're not allowed to do that until they make some sort of heker, some sort of a distinction that the Kitzur is going to describe. So again, it's forbidden for them to eat on the same table, one to eat meat, one to eat a dairy product. Achiyasu is a hacker, until they make some sort of recognition, they make some sort of indication of the fact that they're eating meat and milk and they have to be careful not to share. So how do you make that hacker? How do you make that how do you put that item that will make the recognition that they shouldn't share from each other? The Kitzur gives different examples how to make the heker. Kegon sheyochal kol echad al mapa shelo. Let's say, for example, each one eats on his own tablecloth. If each one eats on a separate tablecloth, that's an indication to show that they shouldn't share from each other. So eating on a separate tablecloth is considered to be a heker. That would show them not to share from each other. Or they put on the table between the food that they're eating, some item, Shein darka liyosham. That's not normally there. If they put an extra item that's not normally on the table, that'll be a hecker. That'll be an indication to them that they shouldn't share with each other. So again, if you're eating meat and milk on the same table, the two ways the kitzer gives that they're allowed to eat by making a hecker, by making some sign that they shouldn't share with each other, is either having separate tablecloths or putting an item which is not normally there. The kitzer continues. V'yehu zehirim shelo lishtos mekli echad. They should be careful not to drink from the same drinking utensil. They shouldn't share the same drinking utensil. M'pnei shehamachal nidvak bekli, because the food will get attached, will get stuck on that drinking utensil. So if one is eating milchigs, one is eating fleishigs, one may eat from the other type of food. If he's eating milchigs, they might get fleishigs stuck, and he might eat from that fleishigs, and vice versa. Therefore, they should not share the same drinking utensils. Let's see Allah Chazayin. V'kol shekein shetzrichon lizahar, certainly they have to be careful. Shalalecha mikikor echad, they shouldn't eat from the same bread and basav yim chalav with meat with milk. Not only should they not eat on the same table without the heker, without the item that makes the recognition that we talked about before, but an additional halacha, they certainly should not eat the same bread from the same loaf of bread that one is putting meat, one is putting cheese on that loaf of bread, because they'll come to taste. If one is eating meat, he might come to taste from the cheese, and the one who's eating cheese might come to taste from the meat if they share the same loaf of bread. Also, the custom is to designate utensils for salt, to have different salt dishes. One salt dish for fleishig dishes, and one salt dish for milchig dishes. Because sometimes they would dip the food in the salt dish. And some of the remainder of the food will remain in the salt, because these salt dishes would actually dip the food into them. They would stick their food into this plate of salt. Therefore, there might be some residue of meat or milk left in the salt dish, and therefore they have to have separate salt dishes in order that the one eating milchigs shouldn't have a residue of fleishigs. And vice versa, we don't want to have any mixture of milchigs and fleishigs from the salt dish, so we have designated salt dishes for milchigs and fleishigs. Let's see Allah Chachas. Nogin Lusham is a sakin. The custom is to make a mark on the knife, hamyuchad l'machal lechalav, which is designated for dairy products. V'chein kol kol lechalav. Also, all the dairy dishes, the custom is to mark them with some mark to indicate that they are dairy. Shleivo l'dechilav, that they shouldn't come to be exchanged. One shouldn't get confused and exchange them with meat. So the custom was to mark the milchig dishes, to mark the dairy dishes, and therefore, if there was a mark on the dish, one knew it was dairy. If there was no mark, he knew it was flesh, he knew it was used for meat. Let's see, halacha tes. Achal basar, some of the ate meat. Afilo raktav shalshal basar, or even if he didn't eat actual meat, but he ate a dish cooked with meat. Let's say he ate potatoes, for example, that were cooked with meat, something that was cooked with meat. Lo yochal ma'achal lechalav, he should not eat dairy products. Ad shigisha sheishos, until he waits 6 hours. One has to wait 6 hours from the time he ate meat until the time he eats milk. V'halois letinok, someone that chews food for a child. Someone who's not actually eating the food, but someone who's just chewing the food. Even though he's not actually swallowing the food. Tzorach gamkin lahamtin, he also has to wait, meaning even someone who's not actually swallowing the food, if he's just chewing it and he's trying to make it softer to feed it to a child, that the child should be able to eat it. So even though the adult is not eating the food himself, nevertheless, because the food gets stuck in his teeth, he also has to wait 6 hours from the time he chewed the meat until the time he eats milchig. Af al pi sheshoa kashir, even though he waited that amount of time, the 6 hours between the time he chewed the meat and the time he's ready to eat milk. Imotzo bosa bin ashinayim, if he finds meat among his teeth, tzorach lasiro. He has to remove that meat. But he doesn't have to wait from the time he finds the meat and removes it. He doesn't have to wait another 6 hours from the time he removes the meat from his teeth. Raki kanech espiv. The only thing he needs to do is to wipe out his mouth. The kids will describe how to do that. He has to wipe out his mouth. V'yadicho, he has to wash it out. Tahanu sheyochal ma'at pas. He should eat a little bit of bread to wipe out his mouth. V'yakanech bopiv. That will wipe his mouth. V'kam madicho b'mayim o b'shar mashke. And he could rinse it out with water or some other drink. So if a person had meat between his teeth and he took out that meat, he doesn't have to wait a new 6 hours from the time he removed the meat, but he has to do kinuach and hadacha. Kinuach is wiping out the mouth, hadacha is washing out the mouth, and kinuach is with food. The Kitzur mentions bread. You could also use other foods for doing kinuach. The Shulchan Aruch mentions that most foods are fine for doing kinuach. Most foods can be used for kinuach. The Shulchan Aruch singles out three foods that cannot be used. He mentions kamach, flour cannot be used. Tamri, which is dates, it's too sticky, doesn't do a good job. And yarka, he mentions vegetables. Those three foods he mentions one should not do kinuach with. But any other food, one may do kinuach with to clean out his mouth. So again, he does kinuach and adocha. He wipes out his mouth and washes it out after he removes that meat from his mouth. And then he only has to wait 6 hours from the time he originally had eaten the meat. Let's see Aloha Yud. Im lohaya betavshel lo basar. If the cooked dish didn't have any meat in it, v'lo shuman shel basar, it didn't have fat of meat, it didn't have meat fat inside of it. Elish nizbashel b'kteira shel basar, but it was only cooked in a meat pot, in a fleshiga pot. Afil lo haisa mudachas yofe, even if it wasn't cleaned well, there was some residue of meat on it. Mutar le'achol achar av cholov. One is allowed to eat milchigs after it if he ate a food cooked in a fleshig pot that wasn't washed out well. That doesn't make him fleshig, so to speak, and he's allowed to eat milk right after it. This halacha is based on the halachic authority of, by the name of the Shach. This opinion of the Shach is that if one ate food cooked in a fleshig pot that had a little bit of residue, it does not make him fleshig. Later authorities explain the Shach means that because that taste of the meat got in Shaloba Miskavim without intention, it wasn't intended to get in, it was just because he didn't do a good job of washing it got in, but he didn't intend, there was no intention of getting that meat taste into the food. Therefore, it does not render him fleshig in the sense that he would have to wait 6 hours to eat milchigs. There are those opinions that argue with the Shach. There are those opinions that say as long as there is a meat taste to this food, we have to wait 6 hours. So therefore, what the Kitzur is saying is a debate among halachic authorities. The Kitzur is taking the opinion of the Shach that if you ate food cooked in a meat pot that wasn't rinsed out well, even if it has a slight fleshig taste, he does not have to wait 6 hours. And there are opinions that would say he would have to wait 6 hours if it actually had a meat taste. Let's see halacha Yud Aleph. Achol gevina, someone that ate cheese. Mutar le'achol achareha basar miyad. He's allowed to eat meat immediately after it, besuda acheres, in a different meal. One that had dairy products, he can eat meat within a short amount of time. He doesn't have to wait the 6 hours after meat to eat dairy. He doesn't have to wait those 6 hours when he's going the other way, when he's going from dairy to meat. He does not have to wait as long as it's a different meal. And the Kitzur gives some other conditions. Ubavad sheyivdok yodav, as long as he checks his hands. Im ein shum davar me'agvina, if there's nothing from the cheese nidvak bahem, that was stuck to them. He has to check his hands that nothing from the cheese got stuck to his hands. Or yurchetzein b'mayim, or alternatively, he could wash his hands in water to make sure they're clean. The gam yinakir shinov, he also has to clean his teeth. the idea of Tiv has to wash out his mouth. That process of kinuach and hadacha, of cleaning his teeth and washing out his mouth, is like we talked about in halacha test. He has to eat something. The foods we talked about, basically any food besides for flour, dates, or vegetables. He can eat any other food to wipe out his mouth, and also wash it out with water. So therefore, after eating the milchigs, he could do this kinuach and hadacha, wiping out his mouth and washing it out. He doesn't have to wait any time, but he has to end the first meal of milchigs. In a separate meal, he could eat fleishigs, even though there was no waiting period between the two. V'im ha'isa ha'gvina kasha, if the cheese was a hard cheese, what is a hard cheese? Tahainu shuhu amada bekeva, that it was made into cheese using a keva, which is the abomasum of a ruminating animal. It's one of the stomachs that has enzymes that turn milk into cheese. So it was made into cheese with a keva, with that stomach of the animal that turns milk into cheese. But not just it was made into cheese. The yeshana shisha chadashim, if it's 6 months old, has to be aged for 6 months. If it's aged for 6 months, that's considered to be an old aged cheese that has a very strong taste to it. Oshi mitulas, or if it's a wormy cheese, to get to the end of this siman, the end of these halachas in halacha, Memdalad talks about in certain cases, if one made cheese, even the worms formed inside the cheese, as long as they're in the cheese, one is allowed to eat that cheese that got a little bit wormy. So either it's a gvina metulas, a cheese that has these worms that formed inside, or it's aged for 6 months. So such a cheese, imrota lecha achakach machale baser, if he wants to eat some fleishig is after that aged cheese. So gamken lahamtin sheishos, he has to wait another 6 hours. Yeah, for eating a hard cheese, one has to wait 6 hours before he eats meat, because that cheese has a very strong taste. So he would need that same waiting time from meat into milk. He would have to wait that same 6 hours from the hard cheese into meat. Let's see halacha yud beis. Misha achal gevina verotzo lechal basar, someone that ate cheese and he wants to eat meat. So if levar mi'al ha'shulchan, he has to get rid of from the table shiurei pas, the remainder of the bread, the little pieces of bread that remain on the table, sh'achal im ha'gevino, that he ate it with cheese. Those pieces of bread that he ate with cheese, he may not eat them with meat. He has to get them off the table before he starts his fleishig meal, before the meat meal. V'asa lechal gevino, it's forbidden to eat cheese, al mapa sha'achal basar, on the tablecloth that he ate meat, because the residue of meat got stuck to the tablecloth, he may not eat cheese on that tablecloth. V'chein lehepech, the same is true with the opposite, if he ate cheese on a tablecloth, he can't eat meat on that same tablecloth. Gam also lachtuch b'sakin shel basar, it's also forbidden to cut with a fleishig knife, pass bread, la'achlo im givina, to eat it with cheese. V'chein lehepech, also the other way, if he wants to take a knife used for cheese to cut bread to eat with fleishigs, also it's forbidden because we're concerned about residue, that if it's a fleishig knife, there might be fleishig residue on the knife that gets onto the bread. And if it's a milchig knife, there might be some milchig residue that gets onto the bread. Vafilo mesakin noki, even if the knife is clean, we're concerned that it's very hard to clean the knife, and there might be some residue. So even if you clean the knife, we're concerned about using that knife for the other gender of food. So you shouldn't use the fleishig knife for bread to eat with milchigs, or vice versa. Let's say some extenuating circumstance. Could go into a derech. Let's say someone who's traveling. He's allowed to cut with a fleishig knife kishu noki, when it's clean, umakunach heitiv heitiv, if it's wiped down very well. Lechol umgivina, to eat it with cheese. V'chein lehepech, the same thing, the opposite way. If he had a milchig knife that was cleaned very well, and he has no other knife. He's traveling, for example. He could use that knife to cut bread to eat with fleishigs. The idea is that normally we're concerned that he wasn't able to clean the knife fully, but if he has no other knife and he makes sure to do a very good cleaning on that knife, and he has no other knife, for example, he's traveling, he could use it, the fleishigah knife for milchuk, as if the knife is very clean, and vice versa, in the case where he has no other knife to use. Let's see, halacha yud gimel. Im chatach b'sakin shel basar, if you cut with the fleishigah knife, b'tzalim, some onion, o sha'ar davar charef, or some other sharp food, on the sonim l'machal chalav, and you put that onion or the sharp food into a milchaga dish, o behepach, or let's say he cut with a milchaga knife, he cut onions and put that into a fleishiga dish. Tzorach la'asos she'elas chacham, he has to ask a chacham, someone who's competent in halachic issues, what to do, because one who cuts a davar charef, a sharp food with let's say a fleishiga knife, that might make that food to be totally fleishig. If he puts it into milchaga, it might prohibit the milchaga food. But there are different considerations depending on when the last time the knife was used, depending on how sharp the food is. Maybe sometimes you can soften the sharpness of an onion by cooking it. So depending on how sharp the food was, when was the last time the knife was used? Was it used recently for fleishig, or if it was used less than 24 hours, that would be more stringent. If it was used more than 24 hours back, that would possibly be another leniency, because then the taste inside the knife is considered to be pogum, is considered to be not a good taste after 24 hours. That potentially would not prohibit the milchig. So there's many halachic considerations in this situation. One has to ask a Talmid Chacham who can pask in such a shaila. In terms of the halachas that we discussed today, there's many articles on the website of Kitchen 365. These are articles about the consumption of blood and blood spots on eggs, about the kashrus of fish. There's many shiurim, many articles there about basa b'chalav, about different halachas of meat and milk, about waiting, about using the same sink for basar b'chalav for meat and milk, about eating on the same table, about pet food if it's not kosher with basar and b'chalav with meat and milk, about cooking in a milchig or fleishig pot, what's the status of that food. There's also an article about waiting after hard cheese, and this last halacha we discussed about cutting a sharp food. So there's many articles there. You can look there for more information about the halachas we discussed today.